It is a very trying moment in the life of any pet owner, that worry that something's wrong with our furry family member. How can you tell what's happening and when is it time to head to the vet's office, often at quite a cost? Dr. Michael Petty understands these questions because he gets them all the time at his Arbor Point Veterinary Hospital and the Animal Pain Center in Canton. He specializes in pain management. And his new book is Dr. Petty's Pain Relief for Dogs, a complete guide to treating pain in your dog. Welcome, Dr. Petty.
Thank you, Cynthia. It's great to be here.
Now, as we start to talk, I also had to wonder, as I looked at your book and thought about what we're going to talk about, is the advice that you give in this book, could it also apply to cats or is it dog specific?
It is very dog specific. In fact, I really thought about having a combined book, but the diagnostics and the treatments are so different between dogs and cats that I was afraid there might be some confusion.
Okay, so anyone listening, we should kind of understand that we really are digging into issues with dogs. We'll have to save the cat conversation for another time in another book.
Yes.
When you treat pets, it does seem that so much attention goes into educating owners on how to assist and how to give care to their pets. And I'm wondering, how do you approach that education when you've got this worried, stressed out owner holding his or her dog standing in front of you?
It's really hard sometimes. Some clients are very, very happy to take the time to listen, but we give instructions, we repeat it two or three times, and we send home a lot of written advice as well.
And the whole thrust of your book is certainly a statement that no pet owner can argue with, namely, you love your dog and you hate to see him or her in pain. So as a pain vet, give us some of the signals that we should be watching for that could tell us that our animal is in pain.
I think the first thing that a lot of people have to understand is that they often write off a lot of this because their dog might be 11, 12 years old, and they say, it's an old dog. It's not in pain. It's just old. This is normal. But that's not normal. Old dogs like to play. Old dogs can get up and down. They use stairs and so forth. They don't have the exuberance of youth, but they still do all those things. So I think the number one thing I can send home is when you see changes in behavior, that is a high sign that something is wrong. It might not be pain. It could be an illness from something else, but it's worth having checked out.
I'm thinking of our we had a Sheltie for 18 and a half years.
Wow.
Long stretch. We got her from a rescue shelter. And around year 17 or so, we'd come into the room and she'd get up and totter out and leave us, which was never the case before. So it isn't always the kind of behavior that we think of as being in pain, but it's this just – it's a change in behavior. Something's not right.
Correct. Obviously, if a dog is limping, that's
sure. –
A real obvious sign, and that one's the easy one to know.
How do we know when it's time to call you, when it's time to call a vet?
I would say whenever there's any doubt, it's worth it to have it checked out. One of the statistics that are floating around out there is that there are 15 million dogs in the United States that are suffering from osteoarthritis, but only a small fraction of them ever actually get treated. And this is for a couple of reasons. The primary one is that they're moms and dads don't realize that they're in pain. There are other reasons. You know, perhaps they've had reactions to medications in the past. They've had bad experiences. And honestly, sometimes they've gone to a veterinarian who isn't an expert in pain management. And after the first three or four steps, they've run out of ideas.
And they're frustrated and they've been spending all this money and I still have a miserable dog.
Correct.
You must get that a lot, especially considering you specialize in pain management.
Yes, we do get it a lot.
What are some of the important tools, if I may use that term, in your toolbox to be able to control pain in pets, in dogs?
I think the most important thing to think about is that you're not just going to approach a pain problem with one treatment. It usually involves multiple things. Usually a pharmaceutical, but often things like acupuncture, rehabilitation, which is the equivalent of physical therapy in humans. There are treatments like stem cell therapy and so forth that you can keep going and going. Even things like weight loss are really important. A dog that loses about 10% of its body weight, an overweight dog, it's the equivalent of giving a pain drug.
Well, it's not any different than humans when there's knee problems and they'll say, drop some weight. So there's not so much pressure and stress on that musculoskeletal system.
Correct.
Acupuncture, I mean, that is pretty interesting. And when did that become something that was being used on pets?
You know, I would say the last 10 years or so, it has really become accepted as mainstream, not marginal medicine. And the type of acupuncture I practice, it's called medical acupuncture. It isn't the typical Chinese acupuncture where you talk about some non-existent organs and the flow of qi and so forth. We learned acupuncture as a cause and effect. We put a needle near a nerve. That nerve sends a signal to the brain. The brain sends down a descending signal. And we know exactly why we're putting that needle in place. So it has become a very scientific mode of treatment.
I've got to figure, pets are living longer than ever.
Yes.
You've got pet physical therapy, acupuncture, just like you described that. Are we going to be seeing pets needing to come in for those regular preventative checkups, much the way that we're told that we humans need to come in for our regular checkups?
Yes, I stress this all of the time. And unfortunately, a lot of people bring their dogs in once a year when it's time for vaccines, and that's it. But as they get older, we encourage twice a year visits. And once a problem develops, we set up a schedule of things and work with a client within their budget and time frame. And we try to get them in on a reasonable schedule to keep tabs on things.
How is the increasingly specialized nature of vets, you know, rehabilitation vets, pain specialist vets, how is that going to change the way that we care for our pets?
That's a really good question. You know, Michigan was actually named, well, Detroit metro area was actually named a few years ago by U.S. News and World Report as being one of the best places in the United States if your dog gets sick because we have so many specialists here. And I don't think it has had a huge impact on the general practitioner, especially if that general practitioner uses experts like myself or specialists like orthopedic surgeons or internists as a tool, and they know when to refer and when they can handle it themselves. But having the specialists gives you that one extra tool.
Sure, sure. I know that you commented on within people's budgets, and I'm sure that's something that you hear, that it must be pretty agonizing for a pet owner to know that they can't afford to take that treatment to the nth degree. They just can't, but yet they want to.
Right. And there are some treatments like stem cell therapy where it's going to cost them around $3,000, give or take. And that's a lot of money for a lot of people. But if they are willing to put in the time, there's things like massage and exercise and weight loss, which costs them nothing. We can teach them how to do this stuff.
How does an owner decide which treatments are really worth pursuing and which are not? I guess I'm talking about probably that sense of trust that an owner feels with a vet, that you're not just being told do this, this, and this because it racks up a big bill.
Right, exactly. And I think that by the time my clients have had a conversation with me, they understand, because I try to explain every treatment and the exact rationale as to why I want to do it.
Do you think the resemblance between pet care or healthcare for pets and healthcare from humans, is it going to continue to really grow and be closer?
Yes, I think it will grow. It really will. There was a book that came out a few years ago called Zubiquity, and it was written by a human cardiologist who suddenly discovered that us veterinarians knew a lot of stuff that they were only just discovering in terms of diseases and so forth. And since that time, there's been an increased cooperation between veterinarians and the single species doctors, physicians.
I love the way you say that. So really, in a sense, we could almost see a pet's health care being pretty identical to human care, only as the pet owner, I'm the advocate. I'm the one speaking for the patient.
Yes.
Well, the book can certainly help dog owners. Again, as we said, what we're talking about really is specific to dogs. The book is Dr. Petty's Pain Relief for Dogs, The Complete Medical and Integrative Guide to Treating Pain by Dr. Michael Petty of the Arbor Point Veterinary Hospital and the Animal Pain Center in Canton. We don't have Sheena with us. She is in that great dog field in the sky. But as I look through it, I could see so many wise things that take me back, especially to her senior years. So thanks so much for the book, Doctor, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, and thank you for the kind words.